Well, y'all, it's Bible study night, Wednesday night, March 30th, 2020. Welcome to Let's Do a Radio Bible Study. I am Miss Inez, broadcasting to you worldwide. Every other Wednesday evening, we have Reverend Carolyn and Reverend Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries out of Arlington, Texas, bringing us Bible study lessons. And this evening, the lesson will be Prayer That Pleases God, taken from Matthew 6, 5 to 13. So y'all get your Bibles ready for that. Turn them to your chapters. So when the time comes, you'll be ripe and ready. Well, you'll be ready. I don't know about ripe, but you'll be ready for the picking. So we'll have prayer, and then we will welcome our teachers, Reverend Carolyn and Rodney McCullough, out of Spread the Word Ministries, Arlington, Texas. Thank you. And please, please, please join us if you're listening at 845-241-9985. Teachers, it is in your hands.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. We pray that all is well with everyone and their family. So we pray that you're trusting in the Lord, because he is one who we can trust in, not just some of the time, but all of the time. We are excited to be back in Bible study. And again, we are studying lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. If you know anything about your Bible, you know that chapter 5, 6, and 7 of the book of Matthew, Jesus preached. He preached to his disciples and maybe others, but he preached on the backside of a dusty mountain, and he preached life lessons. So we wanted to take this opportunity to share some of those lessons with the radio listeners and those who might be coming on the line. Lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And we have went through chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. We looked at the different faces of a blessing. That was verses 1 through 12 of chapter 5. We looked at the Christian faces.
Mm-hmm.
Verses 13 through 16 of chapter 5, and we looked at why did Jesus come. That was verses 17 through 20, chapter 5, and we looked at anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation. That was verses 21 through 42, and last time we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, when helping hurt. And tonight we're going to go further into chapter 6, and looking at verses 5 through 13. Prayers that pleases God. Prayers that pleases God. Again, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this another blessed opportunity. We thank you, O God, for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. Always acknowledging you for who you are. You are God. You are God all alone. God all by yourself. You don't need any group. You don't need any committee. You are just God. You spoke and darkness had to run. You are just God. So we acknowledge you. We recognize you. We reverence you for who you are. We do again ask forgiveness of all of our sins, oh God.
Yeah.
We pray that you will look within us and forgive us of our sins, as all of us have sinned and fall short of your glory. We're not making that up. That's the word. All have sinned, all is short of your glory. But thank thee for your glory. Thank you for your grace, who has given us this opportunity to be in your presence and to teach your word and to receive your word on this afternoon. Again, we love you and we thank you. We always pray for the studio. The studio, do it all in the mall. We ask a special blessing that you will send participants to put items in the mall and that you will send customers to purchase the items out of the mall. Pray that you will continue to grow it as you see fit. Every church that's represented throughout the week, we speak and pray and pronounce a special blessing. Leaders, the members, we just ask that you would keep them covered as only you can. A special prayer for Ms. Inez, oh God. We ask that you bless her, bless her family, continue to allow her hands to prosper. And we pray good health for her, oh God. Thank you for the work that she does. We pray that you continue to allow her your wonderful success. And we thank you. In the blessed and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm going to read, or we're going to read together as our review. We always want to review. So I'm going to begin. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And then I'll ask for a reader for some of the other sections. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. So seeing the clouds, and we entitled this lesson, which was many weeks ago, The Different Faces of the Lesson. This is our review, just the reading of it. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. Seeing the clouds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth. And he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, the heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall receive. For they shall see God. Verse number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verse number 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that's verses 1 through 12 of chapter 5. I don't know who else is on this. If you will read verses 13 through 16 and 15 verses in chapter 5. And we'll go from there. Verses 13 through 16.
All right, 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. And 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. Amen. We entitled that lesson on that night, The Christian Purpose, because our purpose is to let our light shine, that others may see it, not to hide a bush, a bushel, but to let it shine, others might be able to see and are drawn to Christ. And then verses 17 through 20, Ms. Inez, if you would read those as well. We talked about why did you come, verses 17 through 20.
Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not to come to destroy, but to fulfill. 18, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them and shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And then we looked at anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation. That lesson came from verses 21 through 42, and I'll read those. Verse number 21, have you heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Verse number 23. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you,
Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Verse number 25, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going to terms with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. That was the anger. And then we talked about lust. Verse number 27. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body, my Lord, that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, oh, cut it off and throw it away. But it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Then we spent a little bit of time talking about divorce. And verses 31 and 32 addresses that to some extent. Verse number 31, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And then we looked at oath. And I don't know who else is on the line. It's Inez, if you would read 33 through 42 for us.
33 through 42?
Yes.
33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou hast cast not make one hair white or black. 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, for an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him and the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat. Then have thy cloak also. 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away.
Yes.
And we have Miss Lil on the Reverend Lil on the line. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Hello, Reverend. Lilla, and you
hello.
Are just in time. Hello, birthday girl. And birthday young lady.
We also have 8132. I think that's, let me see. Who is 8132, please? The last for the
Reverend
phone number,
Eric.
8132.
That's Reverend Eric.
Okay, Reverend Eric. Okay, so we have the crew from Spread the Word Ministries with us this evening.
Amen, amen, amen. Reverend Lil, if you will read verses 1 through 4, Matthew chapter 6, and that's what we studied the last time, with helping hurts. And so if you will read the first four verses of chapter 6, that'll bring us up to where we will start tonight.
The first four verses of chapter 6 is,
right.
Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, himself shall reward you openly.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for the review in the form of us simply reading God's word. We read pretty much the entire chapter 5 of Matthew. Remember the different faces of a blessing, the Christian purpose, mm-hmm. why Jesus Christ come, anger, lust, divorce, oath, and retaliation, and finally, when helping hurt. And tonight, our title is Prayers That Pleases God. Prayers that pleases God.
Yes.
Again, the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts, Lord, may it be acceptable in your sight. For you are all of our strength, and you are our Redeemer. As ambassadors for Christ, we should understand that we can't please all of the people all of the time. And when I call us ambassadors of Christ, we're just Christ. We're Christ's representatives, aren't we?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So as Christ's representatives, we should understand that we can't please all of the people all of the time.
Amen.
Christ Amen. Himself even couldn't please all of the people all of the time. So we know we're certainly not going to please all of the people all of the time. You know why I say that? Because it's difficult to define or determine what people truly like. It's hard to figure out what people truly like. Just because somebody's pleased with something today, that don't mean they're going to be pleased with it tomorrow.
Amen.
Right.
And we can't even please ourselves most of the time.
Hmm.
How many times have y'all heard? Have y'all said or heard it said, I really don't know what I want? I know I hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I hear it all the time. My wife, wait, what you want? I really don't know what I want. What you want me to get you to eat? Oh, I don't know. And then we go back and forth. Can't even make up our mind. Watch this. God skillfully created us uniquely. God skillfully created us uniquely. We are all created in God's image. Yet each of us are different.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
That's right.
We all created in God's image, but yet each of us is so very different. Even down to our DNA, we are so different. But
correct.
Yet we're all created in God's image. So our focus, our efforts, and our energy must not be on a moving target. Our focus, our efforts, and our energy must not be on a target that's moving. And people, we're moving targets. People are moving targets. Why? Because people always are changing. We always are changing. One day we wake up, things are fine. One day we wake up, things are not fine. One day we wake up, we're mad. The next day we're glad. We just change. We change from day to day.
Uh-huh.
It's difficult to hit with consistency a moving target.
Uh-huh.
But watch this. Watch this. God is the same. Yesterday, God is the same today, and God is the same forevermore. The Lord said, I am the Lord. I change not.
Mm-hmm.
God says there's this holy consistency about God. Let me say that again. Mm. There's a holy consistency that God has.
Mm-hmm.
Can any of us claim that same thing?
Can any of us
claim that holy consistency that God has? I don't care what day you meet God. God's going to be holy on Monday. God going to be holy on Wednesday. God going to be holy on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what time of day, what time of night. God going to be holy. right. And I don't believe anybody on this line can testify to that, that our holiness is consistent. Yeah, you mm-hmm. might catch us living holy most of the time. At some point, mm-hmm. most of us going to put that holiness down. Somebody going to make us put that holiness down. I was told we got to be mm-hmm. careful how we put our roots down. I was told, mm-hmm. man, I said when you go back and get up. Folks used to tell me, be careful how you, you know, people say, I'm just going to put my religion down for a minute and tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you got
to
be careful about putting your religion down. Because you may go back and look for it. It might not be there. But God has this holy consistency about God. God is like a tree that's planted by the water. That I shall not be moved. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Mm.
Y'all, radio listeners, I'm country. I'll say y'all in a minute. We may not be able to see God. We may not get into the level. We may not be able to see God with our physical eyes, but we just know God is there. We may not be able to see God with our physical eyes, but we just know God is there. Let me tell a story about the boy and the kite. I shared it before. There's this little boy flying his kite, and he was with his father. And the kite got so high until the kite had gotten to the clouds, and the kite couldn't be seen. And the little boy kept holding. The little boy kept holding onto the kite, onto the string of the kite. And he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, how do I know? How do I know that the kite is still up there? Because he could no longer see the kite. See, Daddy, how do I know that the kite is still up there? How can I be sure that the kite is still up there because I can't see the kite?" And his father told him, "Just keep holding onto the string. Just keep holding onto the kite line. Just keep holding onto the string." Because if you keep holding on to the string, every now and then you're going to feel the kite tugging. Every now and then you're going to feel the kite pulling. And we might not be able to see God, but every now and then we can feel God pulling on our heart. We can feel God tugging on our heart. We can feel God in our spirit. All we have to do is keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. That's how we know God is there. We might not be able to trace God, but if we trust God, we must be able to trust God even when we can't trace God. Amen?
Amen.
We got to trust him even when we can't trace him. The boy said, I can't see the kite, Daddy. But Daddy said, it's up there. And the way you know it's up there is because you just hold on to that string. And as the wind blows, the kite's going to loose. The kite's going to pull and the kite's going to tug. And that's how you know that kite's up there, because you can feel it. And God lets us know that God is present, because God lets us feel God every now and then. We know he's there because we feel him. We feel him. And we see problems being solved. We see problems being solved. And we also see people being changed. That's how we know God is there. Might not be able to see him physically, but we certainly can feel him in our hearts. Feel them in our souls, feel them in our spirits, and we see the results. We see people's lives being changed, and we see problems being solved. As children of God, we must be concerned about, as children of God, we must be concerned about prayers that please
us. Yes.
Children of God, we must be concerned about prayers that pleases God. The topic of prayer is so very close to God's heart. The topic of prayer is so very close to God's heart. Why I say that? Because God tells us to pray how? Without
ceasing.
Without ceasing. If God won't tell us to do something, stop, then prayer has to be close to God's heart. Has to be close to God's heart. But I pause to say, not all prayers are pleasing to God. Not all prayers are pleasing to God. And I'm not making this up. Somebody might be, man, all we got to do is pray.
But the text is going to tell us tonight, all prayers are not pleasing to God. There's a certain way that God wants us to pray. And there's a certain way that God does not want us to pray. Remember what we were talking about. Prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers that pleases God. The text speaks to prayers that pleases God. Verse number 5 begins by saying, and when you pray, and when you pray, prayer should be non-negotiable. Because it didn't say if you pray or if you think about praying. It says when you pray. So for us, prayer shouldn't be an option where we are not praying. Would y'all agree?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Those of us who are in love with Christ, who are living by the Bible, trying to live by the Bible, trying to follow God's rules, try to obey the commandments, all of them, not just the ones we know about, not just the 12, but there's a lot of commandments. There are a lot of things God asks us to do, and there are many things God has asked us not to do. But prayer has to be the center of a person's life who's representing Christ and who called themselves saved, called themselves a Christian. Prayer has to be the center of our lives. So when you pray, prayer shouldn't be an option. You ever heard it say, no prayer, no power?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Little prayer,
little power.
Much prayer,
much power.
Much power.
Much power. I believe that. Little prayer, yeah, no prayer.
Little power.
No power. Little prayer, little power. Much
mm-hmm.
prayer, much power. For Christians, our prayer life should be our lifeline. Some things I repeat because I believe they're just that important. For Christians,
mm-hmm.
our prayer life should be our lifeline. So here's some things that we shouldn't do. Don't pray like this, and we'll read it after I talk about it. Don't pray like this. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't pray just to be seen. And don't use a lot of empty phrases as the heathens do, as the Gentiles do. Verse number 5, Matthew chapter 6, and we can discuss. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. What's a hypocrite, somebody? Just in case somebody in radio land not really understand what that word means. Anybody, what's a hypocrite?
Somebody that tells you to do something a particular way, but then you don't do it for yourself.
Exactly. Did y'all hear that? Carol, I'm not sure. You might be on mute, because I can kind of hear you talking about
it. Because she echoes in there, so I had to put her on mute. So I just need to know when she wants to say something, so that
okay.
I can, or she can put herself on mute, and then, when she wants to say something, she can go ahead and unmute herself. We could do that.
Yeah, Karen, I hope you heard that. I'm just in the house with her, and so I know I heard her
voice.
She's
Yeah, you hear that echo in the back?
And I didn't hear a voice through the phone.
Okay.
Reverend, you're exactly correct. You are exactly correct. And tell us what that definition again briefly is. A hypocrite is one that...
Reverend Lil?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what you didn't share that definition.
I was saying that a hypocrite is someone that tells you to do something a certain way, and then they don't do it that way themselves. They do it in the opposite way.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. You must not be like the people who tell you how to do things in one way, and then they don't do it in the way that they tell you. They do it in an opposite way or a way different from what they're teaching and telling you. That's a hypocrite. When you pray, we must not be like the hypocrites. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
For they love to stand and pray in the synagogue. And the synagogue is like the church, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they love to stand, Reverend Eric, they love to stand and pray in the church and at the street corner. You see, they know that's a busy place. Won't be coming
right.
and going.
They like to be seen.
At the street corner. Folks going to be coming and going. They love to stand, and it says stand. You know, if you're trying to not, you know, why you got to stand up? They love to stand and pray in the church and at the street corners, that they may be what?
Seen of men.
That they may be seen by others. Mm-hmm. Truly, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. They have received their reward. I say that again. As Reverend Lil was reading verses 1 through 4 in chapter 4, in chapter 6, I say to you, they have received their award, reward.
Mm-hmm.
Those same things are being repeated here. Here's how you know there's a right and a wrong way to pray. Verse number 6. But when you pray, you already told us how not to pray, right? Now, verse number 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret who sees in secret will reward you.
Openly.
Yes.
Openly.
Openly.
Mm-hmm.
Openly. That's right. This translation doesn't say that, but I noticed as we get to the Lord's Prayer, this translation I'm reading is going to lead the last verse of the Lord's Prayer that I'm used to hearing as well. So, open. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Prayers that pleases God are sincere. We can talk about this. Prayer that pleases God are sincere prayers. And the text would lead us to think that if a person wants to stand on the street corner and pray, not having a revival, but the text, the context of this text is that the person is doing it to be seen. And actually it says that. So 9 or 10 times out of 10, that's not a what? That's not a sincere. That's not a sincere prayer. And God knows, y'all. God knows when our prayers are what? Sincere. God knows when we are praying out of selfish motives. God knows when we can, why? Because God knows everything. One of the things we need to remember tonight is that prayers that pleases God are sincere prayers. So make sure that when we are praying, that our prayers are sincere. Our prayers are earnest, heartfelt. And we're not praying for any fashion. We're not praying for any show. We're not praying for any rhyme or any reason. But we all
so how are we going to be able to do that, Grandma Rodney?
How are we going to be able to pray sincerely?
Yeah.
I got an answer. Let me hear some other answers so we can engage in a discussion here.
I have a question. I have a question.
Go ahead.
And my question is, how do we know when a prayer is sincere?
Now,
is that the same thing you're asking, Reverend Leo?
Pretty much.
And ask your question again.
Well, I guess because the Lord knows our heart. The Lord knows. We can fool each other, but we cannot fool the God.
How are we going to be able to pray these kind of prayers?
How are we going to be
well,
able to pray?
Well, we need to pray in the spirit as the scripture teaches us to do.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for.
All right. Mm-hmm. She.
So I got an A plus today?
So
yeah, because to me, that's the only way we're going to be able to do what Rem Rodney is reading and telling us, you know, how to have a sincere prayer and all this. We can't. The only way we can do that is through the Spirit of the Lord, you know. And so that's why I asked that question, because so that everybody will know we have to depend on the Holy Spirit to help us to do that. Otherwise,
exactly.
We will, in my mind, be like those that's praying in the street corners and in the marketplace, you know, just doing
that's
something
it.
For show.
That's it. So Reverend Curly,
well,
you have a,
but now,
yeah, you got a smiley face for today. You got a smiley face.
Yeah.
We
all
don't
right,
get stickers.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
take it back when I get through saying what I'm getting ready to say now.
What I'm getting ready to say now is yes, we want to pray in the spirit, but everything that we do, we should know whether it's done out of sincerity or not. And if it is not sincere, we, our own selves, should also know that.
Even if we, in my mind, I'm trying to go where he was, with the people in the marketplace versus the people that's not in the marketplace. One is sincere, the other's not, and he's saying that we should be sincere. Certain kind of prayers be praying to the Lord. So the question was, well, okay, how do we pray these certain kind of prayers?
And he's getting ready to tell us how to do that. But
so
still, I'm saying I could be in the marketplace.
Yeah, you came
among
in and you
other people.
With the Spirit. And that's where I was wanting him to say, well, we do that with the Spirit. Yes, everybody going to know whether they're being sincere or wanting to be sincere. But we need help to do everything we do when we're working for the Lord. Everything.
That's right.
We need us.
That's right. That's right. And that's where I was going to go to. We have to pray in the Spirit. Because if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and our Savior, if we have accepted Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we have asked the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
You know, we have asked the Holy Ghost. Come into our lives, lead and guide and direct us. And we know that the God that we serve is a prayer-answering God. Then we have to look at the God that we are praying to. And if we really trust the God that we are praying to because we have accepted him and we've seen God work in our lives and in other people's lives over and over, we've seen God, the things that God have done in our lives, and we are trusting God with our whole heart, body, soul, mind, everything. Then our prayers will be sincere.
Amen.
Our prayers, the only way they can be sincere is how Reverend Carolyn led out in order to get her smiling face. She said, we got to be praying in the Spirit. I think that's what you said.
Spirit.
With the Spirit.
Right. That's right.
Can't go wrong. As long as you mention the Spirit of God, you can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been praying at Ms. Inez, we've been praying at 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. every day as an Episcopal area in our church.
Okay. Okay.
Every morning, every night, we've been praying since when, y'all? Since the Lenten season began.
Okay.
So,
Now,
about 3 weeks or something, however long we've been in this season. But there's a lot of people praying. They probably it's probably been 100 people, maybe.
Nice.
75 people that has prayed. And we don't know if every prayer that's been offered is sincere. Right, Reverend Lil?
That's right.
We don't know. People are called on to pray, and we hear them praying. I have prayed. Reverend prayed. Reverend Lil has prayed. Reverend Eric has prayed. And people from all over Arkansas and Texas and Oklahoma and parts of Mississippi.
Nice.
We don't know who prayer is sincere and who prayed.
as we're reading and studying tonight. We are hoping everybody's prayers.
For us, right. Is it not for us to know? But if you come before God,
right.
You know, and give it and do it in a spirit-like matter, or ask the Lord, please, you know, how do we say that? Please take self out of me out of self, something. I can't remember how the saying goes. But just take everything out of me and let me edify you. Then we know it's sincere. But, you know, if you're going to go out there, like you say, on the street corner and say, here I am. I'm praying for you. I want you to come to me and pray. And then go inside, and it's a whole different, you know, demeanor and everything. So that's a whole different story. But people who are, what do you call it, who are of like minds and of the like spirit, they're going to come together because they want to build up Christ. They want to build up people. They want people to come to you so they can come to you in a manner like, oh, they're really sincere. They're not, you know, they're no joke. You know, they're not going to, if they hear Miss Lil, you know, sounding all funny, it's like, okay, that doesn't sound like the lady I'm used to praying, so I'm not sure I want to, you know, ask her to pray for me. But Reverend Lil, I know she's got some sincere prayers because she'd be having us crying and, you know, everything else. So we know that she's sincere. So you kind of see the aura around the person that they're also sincere. You can always tell someone who's in the spirit of Christ because there's a certain aura around them. It's funny because I used to work as a bus girl at this one place, and this one lady, she asked me, are you a Christian? I looked at her like, why do you ask that? Because she said, there's a certain aura around you. I said, yes, I am. People can tell. And when I would do plays and I would enter the room come into the play as a character, my mom says, there was always an aura around you, this bright, shiny aura around you. I said, okay, I guess I got Christ up in me. You know, so, you know, you got your dark auras and you got your bright auras. So people can tell, you know, people can tell when the Spirit is upon you. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Amen. You used to work for, as a what?
As a bus girl.
A bus girl.
Uh-huh.
What's a bus girl?
Like a bus boy, bus girl.
A person
used to,
who
cleaned
up the table.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I got you. But you
guess I did customer service, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I should have. But you said when you started to speak, you said it's not for us to know. It's not for us to know who is praying sincere and who is not.
Mm-hmm.
I have to agree that, y'all. That's not our battle right there to decide who is fake, who is shaking, and who is sincere. That's not our battle.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
something that the Lord deals with, and I believe that was one of the first things you said.
Right.
So that's not an error.
Right.
It's not an error you have any expertise in. But Reverend Curlin can share just that you did that people would ask.
Uh-huh.
You can. Or you can feel that it's something about a person. I think she was in a setting not too long. Carolyn, and this lady said that there's a holiness about you. There's a holiness about you. She don't know the lady from the man in the moon. Or a neighbor, a couple. Somebody said that to her. Just
yeah, I had never seen her before.
And that's how people come to you. That's how people come to Christ, and people come to you because they can see the Christ in you. Because, you know, you can't hide Christ. Like the earlier we say, a light upon a hill is going to shine. You can't hide a light. You can't burn out a light.
No.
You
that's
may try to doubt
teaches.
It, but you, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying we read earlier. You, with a light upon a hill, it's going to shine. You're going to have to really throw some serious water on the hill to get that light out. But if God gave you that light, I'm sorry, it's not going to dim. It just will not dim.
That's right. That's exactly right. Even if you try to cover it up, if you try to hide it, if there's any cracks and crevices, that light still going to come through.
It's going to come through. That's right.
And we still have to also remember that Scripture teaches that we will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. And so whatever we're doing, be it representing Christ or representing ourselves, we are still going to be able to see good fruit, because a good tree cannot bear bad fruit.
That's
what the word says. That's exactly what the word says.
And we have to be able to stand on the word in all instances.
The fruits of the Spirit. That's right. They're not going to bear no bad fruit.
Let me make this statement.
Just because we put that ourselves, that in itself don't make us selfish.
You're going to have to say that again because you're kind of muffled.
Just because we pray for ourselves,
there you go.
That in itself don't make us selfish. Just because we pray for ourselves, that in itself don't make us selfish. Watch this. Now we must be careful when we only focus on praying for ourselves.
Right.
That's when it can move.
Then become selfish. Yes.
Right. So it's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. We do it all the time. We pray for
you're
ourselves.
Supposed to pray over yourself.
Because
sometimes you don't have anybody else to pray for you.
Yes.
Because other people may not know what you need. You know what you need, so you go to God and ask for it in sincerity. Then you know it's going to be done in sincerely. But if you come, just like, I know God's going to give this to me. I ain't worried about it. No, that's not sincere. Now you got to come with a humble heart, humble mind, and a humble spirit. You'd be all right. After that,
All of that. Verse number 6. Again, but when you pray. Not if you pray, not if you feel like praying, but when you pray, go where? Into your secret. Go into your room. I'm saying secret. Go into your room and do what? Shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Go into your secret closet. Prayers that please God. Some of the prayers that pleases God are private prayers, y'all. Hopefully y'all can hear me. Sometimes the best prayers that pleases God are private prayers. And I put private in quotation because I'm going to say in just a little bit, we can be praying in our private prayer closet and yet be in a room full of people. I believe that.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I believe it.
Amen.
We can be praying in our private prayer closet, but yet be in a room full of people.
And I think that should be happening all of the time, because that is where we are when we are praying without ceasing.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Yes. Exactly. In other words, prayer should be between us and God.
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't get caught up in, but some people might think like this, well, I'm going to pray different when the bishop is here than I would if the bishop wasn't here. Or I'm going to pray different if I'm in this audience as opposed to this audience. And that's not how God wants us to pray.
No, I can tell you right now that's a problem. That in itself is a problem. Because we're not trying to please man, whoever man is. We got to please God.
There you go. But being in our church, I would wager, I'm not a betting person, so to speak, but I would wager there are some people who change their prayers up. Depending on who's present, depending on who's listening, depending on where they are. I just feel like that. I could be wrong.
And probably a lot of us pray to also hit at people, too. I've seen that and heard that as well.
And that falls in the line of what we're talking about. That borders on being a prayer that may not be sincere. I mean, you know, it could border on not being sincere if you are praying that prayer
for almost the sole reason of hitting on something. As you said it, Reverend Carolyn, I guess hitting on somebody or tilting it towards somebody. Now, we're supposed to be praying.
Making dabs at people. But see, there again, this is what people don't understand, is that whatever we're doing, God is the ultimate judge. God is the one who's already seeing it, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So with God being the one who's already seeing it, that's who we should be concerned about.
Yeah.
Because God knows whether I'm doing something or not. And so I learned a while ago to be very careful on being able to say, the Lord knows my heart.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because he really does. And I want him to know my heart, but I also want my heart to be pure.
And he knows. He knows your heart. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows the ugly. So about all of us.
Yes.
Because he is all-knowing, omnipotent. He is all-knowing. So, good. So prayers that pleases God is private. The night before Jesus was crucified, you know, Jesus was praying, and he was praying all alone. He was praying all alone. And he prayed all alone by choice, because he told them, y'all wait here, and I'm going to go yonder. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to pray. And he did that, I think, two or three times. And each time he came back, and they were what? They were sleeping. He went back and he prayed. That's when he prayed, and I believe that's when he prayed, Reverend Eric, I believe that's when he prayed, and they said that he was praying and the sweat was dropping off of him like sweat, like the sweat was dropping off him like blood. And he was praying in the garden. And he and finally he came back and says, well, sleep, take your rest. You know, can't y'all just stay awake for 1 hour, whatever the text says? Finally says, take your rest. Prayer.
Honestly.
We'll make another statement. Prayer is an opportunity to talk with God. Prayer is an opportunity to talk with God, not only to God. So when we pray, we're talking with God. We're talking with God. We're talking with God. And I say that to say sometimes we should, even in our prayer, we should be quiet. We should be quiet and allow God.
And that's where we are in a meditative state.
Amen. Allowing God an opportunity to speak to us. The song says, have a little talk with Jesus.
With Jesus. Tell him all the
time. Tell him all about
our troubles. He will hear our feeble call.
Answer
by and by. By and by. You feel the prayer will turn. Know that the fire will turn. Know that the fire is
burning. Have a little talk with Jesus.
Have a little talk with Jesus. Makes it right. All right.
We'll
talk with Jesus. Tell him all about our troubles. Hear your feeble cry.
Answer by and by.
Yes.
Now we can feel a little prayer wheel turning.
Know that the fire is burning. Have a little talk with Jesus.
Makes it right.
All right. We have a church.
Amen.
That little talk
with Jesus really will make everything all right, right?
Yes. Thank you. Woo.
And prayer gives us that opportunity. Prayer gives us that opportunity to have that talk. Have that talk.
One-on-one. Mm-hmm.
Have that talk. Again, yeah. We're looking at Matthew chapter, in case others are coming in, we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Mm-hmm. Entitled the speaking of the scriptures, prayers that pleases God. Prayers that pleases God. We are having a wonderful discussion.
Amen.
I'll repeat this. Our prayer closet can be in the midst of a room full of people. Our attitude towards prayer makes all of the difference. Our prayer closet can be in a room full of people. What makes the difference is our attitude. Our attitude towards prayer. That's what makes the difference.
Amen.
Private prayers brings public reward. And I think the text says that.
Yes, it does.
And your father who sees in secret will reward you how?
Yes. Openly.
Openly. Openly.
Yes, sir.
Private prayers bring public reward. We see something. We see sometimes things happening in people's lives who don't make a whole lot of noise. We just know they know how to pray. We sometimes notice things happening in people's lives, and they don't make a whole lot of noise, but we know they know how to pray. We don't have to use vain repetition as the heathens do, as the Gentiles do. Some text says they're saying heathen in one, Gentiles in the other. We don't have to use vain repetition as the heathens do, as the Gentiles do. Prayers that please God, it won't insult God's intelligence. God is not hard of hearing. God is not hard of hearing. And that's what the text is saying. And when you pray, verse number 7, and when you pray, do not heap, this is the English Standard Version, do not heap up empty phrases. And again, my text says, as the Gentiles do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse number 7 in somebody else's translation. Verse number 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse number 7 in another translation.
But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And that's the King James Version.
There you go.
Sorry, Reverend Will. Sorry.
It's okay.
Reverend Will, you should read about the same, right?
Yes.
Okay. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Verse number 8. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask. Verse number 8, he knows what we need before we ask. Isn't that awesome? We don't we don't really have to know what we need because he already knows what we need even before. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's being taken care of totally by God who loves us. Even if we don't know what we need, God already knows. Because sometimes we don't, even know how to, we don't even know what to pray for, or we don't even know how to pray.
Man, that's right.
And I think the scripture says sometimes we can just make sound, moans and groans. But God already knows what we need.
Amen.
Already knows. Prayers that please God don't insult God's intelligence. God is all-knowing. Omnipotent. God knows what things we have need for, and I'm being repetitive, before we ask. Now let's get to where we're going. Verse number 9. Pray then like this. We talk about prayers that pleases God.
Yes.
And it has to be some prayers that don't please God. And the prayers that don't please God, Reverend Killer, is the prayers that we pray just for show. We stand on the street corner. We stand up in the church so folks can see us. The pastor say, let's all please kneel and pray, or let's all stay in our feet and pray. No, you gonna stand up. You got to stand up in the church and do your prayer. The preacher, the pastor said, let's kneel. No, you gonna stand up, and then go out on the street corners. Those kinds of people are not pleasing to God. This could be an eye-opening lesson to some, because some people might think, well, God wants us to pray.
Right.
All prayers have to be good in God's eyesight. No, they're not. And the text is
He wants us to do it a certain way.
He wants us to have a certain attitude about prayer. He wants it to be sincere.
And look, it opens with what? Humility. It opens up with humility. Our Father in heaven, or who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
That's right.
So let's give the praise and honor to him, because his name is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
So we're acknowledging who he is, not who we are. And I, you know, sometimes I notice how we come to God. We come to God not necessarily in an humble way sometimes. And you can tell by how we start out.
Now you could be right, but as Sister Inez says, you know, that's not our league. That's for God to decide, right?
Because some people they don't know how to talk to God
at any time.
Right. But some people don't know how to pray, so they just come to the way as humbly as they know how. And a lot of times, people start that up. Jesus, humbly I pray, or humbly I bow, because they don't know anything else. Some people, they just may be like, I'm talking to any of you, just a regular conversation, because they don't know how to pray. And a lot of people don't know how to pray because they've never been taught to pray, even though it says in the Bible, after this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Some people never open the Bible, so they don't know how. So when I ask, I'll say, Reverend Lil to pray. Reverend Lil says, I've never prayed before. Well, just have a conversation with God. That's all it is a conversation between you and God, pouring out your heart. That's all it is. Then he knows you're humble. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
No, that's true.
That's right. Conversation. Pouring out your heart to God.
And the more conversations you have, the more you'll feel comfortable sharing with him.
Correct.
That's right.
It's just that first step, just going to him.
Amen. And let's not forget where this prayer that we are looking at now is located. Jesus is preaching a sermon. And I don't know how long, how many days, but Jesus is in the midst of preaching and teaching his disciples. And right in the midst of teaching and preaching his disciples, he talks to them about prayer. He tells them how not to pray. He tells them how not to pray. He tells them how. Then in verse 9, he gets specific. In verse 9 of chapter 6, he says, then pray then like this. So if Jesus is instructing them on how to pray,
correct.
This should be a prayer that we should be looking at often, I think. If this is the prayer that Jesus instructed his disciples on, this is the pattern. This is the blueprint. Even if we're not praying this prayer, word for word, it looks to me like this is the pattern. This is the blueprint. This is the approach that Jesus is teaching his disciples. And so,
all right.
The model prayer with all of the components.
Right. And to me, that we should be following this approach. to some extent. We should be looking at this prayer, studying this prayer, learning this prayer, learning the ins and outs of it, because this is how he wants. This is how he wants it done. And there, in the beginning, is an acknowledgement. There's a recognition of who God is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy be your name. Isn't that what that word hallowed means? Holy.
All right.
Holy be your name. Recognizing him, acknowledging God as holy. And I tend to try to follow the pattern where I lift him up and recognize him and ask forgiveness, because that's just how I've been taught. And I feel in my soul I can't go wrong if I don't ever fail to say, Lord, I just respect you for who you are. You are such a great God. I always try to get that in, and I try to get it in as close to the beginning as I can, because I don't want to go through my prayer and not giving him total respect. And this is me. This is me. I know it don't have to be this way. Too much love, I know. It is. I don't know where it's coming from, though. Carolyn, are you?
And it's not Carolyn. Nope.
Yeah. I'm just asking. I don't know. I can hear it, too. But I'm not. It's like some paper or something is rattling or something.
Page is rattling. Mm-hmm.
Page is rattling. Yeah, but I hear it as well. So we do have some background noise. So if we're not talking, if we can mute our phones, and then when we get ready to speak, we can unmute them. And that would cut down on the background noise. Thank you so much. So who wants to read the entire prayer, and we'll discuss it a little bit more? Reverend Eric, if you're there, let's read 9. Read that entire prayer. 9 all the way. Actually, read 9.
9?
Yeah, verses 9 through 15. And that's the prayer that we want to look at.
Where you go? I can't hear you.
You're muffled, Reverend Rodney.
You want to hear me now?
Okay, that's better, yes.
Okay,
you
better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There was some static as well. Okay, if you can read 9 through 15, that will, and we can discuss.
All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And I'm reading this for a reason. Verse number 13 in this translation. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's
mm-hmm.
how this prayer ends. That's how it ends in this translation. Isn't it another verse? that says, and I think
for them is the kingdom and the power.
It's not in the English Standard Version. I noticed that as I was studying this. Now, something is left off. The ending of this is left off. For thine is the power. For thine is the power. It's not here. It just ends like this.
Mm-hmm.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then it goes into verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Does all of the other translations that you all have that final verse in it? It says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Because mine
forever.
Don't.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Mine.
Mm-hmm.
How strange.
Mm-hmm.
But okay.
Interesting.
So do you have any comments or anything jumps out to you all regarding this prayer? We should recognize God as holy. We should recognize God's will is sovereign. And every day is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. And God must give it to us. We can't take the day, right? It says, give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. God must give it. We can't take it. God must give it. Give us this day. Forgive others because God forgave us. And then we need to allow God to lead us. Y'all hear what I said? We need to allow God to lead us because God will lead us if we allow God to lead us. Am I right about that?
That's right.
Amen.
God will lead us.
That's right.
But the prayer says, the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive and lead us not into temptation. We need to allow God to lead. And we need to recognize that God is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, all of that. It's God's kingdom. God has the power, and God has the glory to give. God forever. There you go. Prayers that pleases God.
If
we haven't learned anything else tonight, we need to leave this podcast knowing that all prayers are not pleasing to God. We have to pray in a certain way. We have to pray with a certain attitude. We have to pray sincere prayers. And we can't be like the heathens praying just so people can see us. We can't be like the heathens trying to use fancy big words or just heaping up phrases, as the text says. Those kinds of prayers do not excite God.
And Rodney, I think the another very important thing is verse 15, where it tells us that we have to forgive one another. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So that coincides when he's telling us, verse 12 is telling us to forgive, asking him to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. That goes right with that, because we're not going to be forgiven unless able to forgive one another.
That's right.
Very important, as you spoke earlier about not knowing what we want, not even knowing what we want to eat. Well, a lot of people like to hold grudges. I've heard people all my life make the statement, well, so-and-so did such-and-such to me, I'll never forgive them. Well, that's not what God teaches. He don't teach that, as we see in the Word tonight. He teaches that we really must forgive if we want to be forgiven.
And that is very important.
And we can just get up off of our knees anyway and offering up our prayers to him if we're falling in a position like that. Stop praying to God, because he's not hearing our prayers at that point.
Going nowhere.
We are separated from him.
That's
and
right.
Sin separates us from God, and it's a sin to not forgive another.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Because he ended and made the way for us to be forgiven, and it's no more than right for us to forgive one another. I think that's what it's trying
Amen.
To help us to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. we ask him for forgiveness all the time for one reason or another, so we should be forgiving each other for one reason or another. It doesn't matter what it was that made you mad. If it hurt you to the core of your heart, you still got to forgive.
That's
if
right.
You won't be forgiven. And like Reverend Carolyn said, might as well get up off your knees until you can forgive people. You're having a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, what do we say a while ago? He helps us do everything, so he'll help us to forgive if we need help.
Sure will, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, all you got to do is ask. So the prayer he has set the model in motion. He's given us the example, and he's told us, last but not least, what all of verses 1 through 14 will come together, and it's based upon verse 15.
That's it. That's major. That's major. So we should be running.
Amen.
We should be running to try to forgive people. I mean, you know, we should be we should be trying to make a beeline to people.
Amen.
And forgive them, because it says that we won't be forgiven by God.
Won't be. Mm-mm. It's right here. Right.
And that right there, you should. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you can.
And that right there should make you wanna go to your brother or your sister and ask for forgiveness, because if you're not going to heaven, you're going to somewhere else.
Amen.
That's right.
And nobody on this earth is worth dying and going to hell for.
Amen.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Now, y'all watch this. There's a lot of people in church. There are a lot of people in church. Those in church Sunday. That have a problem forgiving folks. They sit silent in the building. Well, before COVID, when we did, everybody was in church, and maybe a lot of people going back, but they sit beside in the building. Church folk who say they love the Lord and have accepted the Lord as their Savior, have a problem forgiving people. And I know this.
I know of cases
where people in the church they just didn't want to forgive a person.
Yeah.
For whatever the reason.
Yeah. But you know, that's what when Jesus talked back over there in chapter 5, where he talked about the anger and about the on restitution and prayer, it says, you know, he let us know we got all with our brother. We're supposed to leave our offering or the gift at the altar and go and try to make peace with our brother first.
Mm-hmm.
And then come. Otherwise, it's not going to work out. It says that verse 23 says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar. Go your way first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge. Who is the judge? And the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast where? Into prison. Mm-hmm. That means into hell.
That's right.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to forgive. Sometimes we might not can go to the person, but we can still forgive them. We can let the Lord know that we're not no longer holding that grudge. We have forgiven them, Lord. And if we can't forgive them, Lord, help me to forgive. I don't want to have that stain on me. Help me to forgive this person for what they did. He will do that. He will help you.
That's right.
Reverend Carolyn,
share in general, because there were incidents in the church where there was a person, did she not want to forgive you or had something against you and you didn't even know what it was? Are you on another line, Reverend Carolyn?
She may be muted.
She might be. Yeah, I think she's talking on another
yes,
line.
Yes, I'm on mute. Okay. Yeah.
There was a situation where you can share in general where it was a situation about forgiveness in the church and it involved you and another person or two.
Yeah. Well, the bottom line is it came to a halt finally. But that is nothing to play with. And, you know, the one thing about it is none of us can make a person forgive us.
Right.
Our job is not to make them forgive us, but whatever it is, see, you might not even know what you have done, but by virtue of your being made aware that something was done, then we have to be obligated to get that right with that other person. And so, like I said before, nothing is worth going to hell over. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're on your way. What does the word say? We're going to bust hell wide open, as my daddy said. and we don't want to do that. But you can't be righteous and wrong all at the same time. So whatever
no,
the wrong is
the fence,
in
right?
your life, you have to get that straightened out.
Right.
And Jesus died, and when the Lord made it clear to me that because he died for my sins, I ought to be willing to forgive another for what they've done to me. Because that is the least that I can do. Dying is not the same as somebody coming up and slapping you or somebody spitting on your shoes or whatever. Whatever the person does is not worse than what Jesus went through.
Amen.
And so if I'm taking up my cross and following him, I have to accept whatever is going on in my life that's bad, good, and ugly, and try to deal with it as I am carrying my cross for Christ.
Amen.
So how many times should I forgive? What did Jesus
70
say?
70 times 7.
Yes. And so I got to always be in a state of forgiveness. No matter how bad it hurts, it's still not worse than what Jesus went through to bear the sins of the whole world. Not just mine, but the whole world.
That's
so
right.
That's why we have to walk in humility.
Every day.
Because pride is boastful.
Every day. That's what comes before the fall.
And we all get angry. But his word tells us to what? Sin not.
Right.
That's what his word tells us.
But sin not.
Mm-hmm.
Be angry, but sin not. That's right. So prayers. We have learned about prayers that pleases God. And indeed, it is the prayer that he taught his disciples. It is the way we pray. What's in our heart, our attitude, our motive. All those are important when we pray unto our Lord. Because we want our prayers to be pleasing. We want our prayers to be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. We don't want to be like the people speak about in the text tonight. We want our prayers to be pleasing and to be received as we are offering them up. All right. We've done good. We've done good. Done good, I think, tonight.
That was good. That was real good.
Yep. Yeah.
Real good. Vivid prayers. Vivid prayers. Any last words
from
anyone?
And the reality of it is this. All of God's word is good. All of God's word is a blessing. All of God's word is there to help us to grow and be better. And if I'm not being better, something's wrong with me.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is.
That's
right.
I should be growing. When it doesn't seem like I'm growing, I still should be what? Growing.
Yeah. So we go. I'm gonna give the next two lessons. The next two lessons. Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. We'll look at that first when we gather again, and the title of that will be Fighting with a Fast.
Fighting with a what?
Fast.
Fighting fast.
Fighting with a fast. You know how you fast?
With a fast. You pray.
Mm-hmm. You pray. He said, some things come by. So it's fighting with a fast.
Okay.
And that's Matthew verses 16 through 18. So 16, 17, and 18, he's going to be talking about fasting.
Okay.
And then verses 19 through 21, the title is going to be, What is Your Treasure? What is your treasure? What is my treasure? That's verses 19 through 21. That'll take us through the next two lessons. If we finish early next week talking about fighting with a fast, then we'll go right into what is my treasure.
Okay.
So that take us through verse 16 all the way through 21. And just a few verses, but it's a lot in that text.
Lot
to talk about.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the blessings of another day, and we thank you for the blessings of another opportunity to serve in this capacity. We thank you, O God, for your holy word. We thank you for allowing us to be able to engage in it tonight. But more than anything, we thank you for your leadership. We thank you for your direction, and we thank you for being in our midst. We always recognize and honor you for who you are. Indeed, you are God. And we thank you, O God, for who you are. You do so much for us, but we want to really thank you for who you are, and you are God.
Yes.
Please forgive us of all of our sins, for your word said that we have sinned and fall short of your glory. Please forgive us. But then, God, draw all of us closer to you. We all desire a closer walk. And if there be any under the sound of our voices who don't know you as a Savior, our prayer is always the same, that they reach out and accept you as their Lord and their Savior. If there are any of us who are seeking to rededicate our lives to you, we pray again that you will allow us to come to know you in a new and a fresh way as you give us a double dose of your anointing. Thank you again for Jesus Christ who lived. Thank you again for Jesus Christ who died. Thank you again for Jesus Christ who lives today. And he lives in our heart as well as in heaven. He's certainly interceding for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for interceding on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Anybody have any announcements?
Yeah, I would like to invite us to Thursday service on the 14th of April. It's at 7:30 Central Standard Time, and it's a virtual
AM or PM?
Event. PM.
AM or PM? Okay.
PM. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'll send you the flyer, Miss Agnes.
Okay. And what is it called?
Monday, Thursday worship service during Holy Week.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Cool, cool. And this Sunday we have First Sunday's Communion Sunday with the McCauleys and Spread the Word Ministries. We'll have our Communion Sunday on Sunday. And that's at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4
4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. And then Tuesday, I have this little segment called Miss Inez Says, Let's Talk About It. And we're going to be talking about when suicide doesn't work. We have a couple of people, one or two people who tried to commit suicide and it didn't work, and they wrote a couple of books, or they wrote books about it. And so last night we had Laquita Parks, who helped them publish their book. She's a publisher with Paperby Publishing. And so this next week we're going to have a couple of the men on, or one or two, one or if not two, speak about when suicide did not work for them. So join us, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And so hopefully I'll have someone from the National Suicide Hotline on the line as well for those who attempted suicide, but, you know, it didn't actually work. So then Thursday we have Reverend Parks. Yeah, Reverend Parks. I'm sorry, Sergeant Parks, with Saving the World Part 2, and that's on Thursday evening, and that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then Sunday we have Reverend Beatrice Jenkins. So we do have 4 weeks that are coming up, so we want you all to join in, and if you don't get a chance to join in our conversations, you can always go back on demand from the homepage or Do It All in the Mall and go to your right-hand side and look for the radio icon. Click on the icon, and then you can check out any of the shows that we've had in the past and see what's coming up. And hopefully you all will join us. So on that note, if no one else has anything else to say, we want to thank each and everyone for joining us this Wednesday, March 30th, 2022 Bible study. Yes, sir.
How far can you go back when you say click and listen to previous shows? About how far can you go back?
I'll have to look and see, but I think as long as I think you keep hitting the back button, I'll look, because see, when I do it, it's one different standpoint than when somebody else does it. So I'll check that out and see, because I know. I'm glad you asked that question, because I don't know, and I should probably find out, because I know when I look at the stats, I see people checking in and looking at and going back to previous shows and stuff and listening to them, so I don't know how far back they do go.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
So you're welcome. Thank you. So and if anybody wants to be a speaker or has a topic they want to speak about on Miss Inez Says Let's Talk About It, or they want to have a show throughout the week, let me know. If it doesn't interrupt or invade any of the shows that are going on, please email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com, and I'll look at the email and I'll contact you. Other than that, we just appreciate each and every one of you for joining us any night, every night, and just, you know, our Let's Do It Radio listeners worldwide, thank you, thank you, thank you, because we're still growing and glowing throughout the world, so thank you so much for joining us. So if you want to bow your heads as I pray this prayer, is not the same one as Our Father which art in heaven, but please bow your head. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. Want you all to stay blessed, be blessed, stay safe, stay, you know, love each other, even if it's from a distance, you know, do those virtual hugs if necessary, because everybody is still out there struggling with COVID. So thank you, thank you, thank you again to the McCauleys for this lesson, Lessons from the Mount is a continuation. We have prayers that please God, and keep praying. And I love the way Miss Sister Lil, Reverend Lil, Sister Mrs. Reverend Lil prays. I know I'll get it straight one day. But I love how she prays, because she always does those fervent prayers. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And we're going to end with the Do It All in the Mall prayer.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen, and thank you, and Amen. Be blessed. Good night.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.